take your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians 4. Would you go there, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Appreciate Brother Fry inviting me to come. Had a great time and a great fellowship together and a great time in the Word of God. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 4. I'd like to preach on the whole chapter, but we don't have time for that, so we're just going to hit a couple of highlights here. I'm going to read a couple of verses at the beginning of the chapter and a couple of verses at the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians 4. It's always fun to be preaching just before you're going to a meal. You know? People are always super attentive right then. You know? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You follow with me as I read. I'm in my Bible, 2 Corinthians 4, and we're starting in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 15, 2 Corinthians 4 now, to the end of the chapter, starting in verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. My title is from verse 1 and also verse 16, where the Bible says, we faint not. We faint not. My wife and I went to a wedding just right after school got out. It was two ambassador students. The guy was from Maine, and the young lady was from Arizona, so they got married in North Carolina. It makes perfect sense. And they both came from huge families. I think in his family, I think there's 11 children, or normal-sized families. Let me just repoint that. Normal-sized families. 11, and she had 9. And it wasn't particularly hot. The wedding started at Friday at noon. I'm just old enough where that doesn't make any sense to me, but once again, I wasn't getting married, so it's all right. It didn't have anything to do with it. We just went to it. And another teacher at Ambassador Cup did the first little part, you know, who giveth this woman to be married to this man. And then he sets down, and both of the people, young people getting married, their dads are pastors. And so the daughter, the woman, her dad gets up there, and they got 4 people standing up. They're from large families, or normal size, however you want to look at it. So she's got 3 sisters, and Hannah Huber was there, right. And then on the other side, we've got him, and he's got a couple of people he went to college with, and brothers. And the dad is up there talking. You know how it is. He's talking about, leave and queep, cleave and weave, you know, going through the whole thing. Right in the middle of this, one of his daughters, the bride's sister, goes down like a ton of bricks. I mean, I'm not saying she doesn't go down quietly. I thought she got like hit by a shotgun shell or something like that. She goes boom, you know. The pastor dad doesn't even flinch. He doesn't even slow down. He doesn't even hesitate. And then he says, "Don't worry, happens all the time to us." You know. The mother gets up and gets, "Can we have some water up here?" He keeps right on talking. You know, he keeps right on talking. I'm kind of like, can we stop for a second, make sure she's all right? Because sounded to me like she came down hard. You know, I'm trying to see, you know, and trying to do where everybody's not looking that I'm seeing, trying to figure out what she is. So finally they give her a bottle of water. She sits in the front seat. He's still talking. He's still going on. He's got a message on marriage and what it means and all the beauty of marriage and the wonder of marriage and all this. And go fruit forth and multiply, be fruitful, that whole thing. And then finally somebody takes this girl out. And she's walking like she was in the Vietnam War. I'm telling you what. I mean, she's walking out, you know. And I'm like, could we get like an update on her? Because I'm like concerned about her. That guy, he said, don't worry about her. Happens all the time to our family. Somebody goes down, somebody faints. I'm like, wow, a little compassion would go a long way. There's something about when somebody faints, you're like, are they alive or, you know, what's the deal here? I had a kid when I went to school a long time ago. His name was Myron Sandstrom, and he'd faint every year. He'd always faint when he's given a book report, but he was too embarrassed to tell the teacher. And we thought it was so much fun, we never told the teacher. You know what I mean? And so nobody told the teacher. So when we get into fifth grade, he's like giving a book report, and you could just see him rocking back and forth. And with all of us, because we'd all grown up in the same town, you know, and we'd all been through the same classes, we go, here it's coming. It's coming. He's giving a book report about the three little pigs. I don't know what the story was. You know, all of a sudden, he just goes down, face first. Boom! You know, and I think he bounces, you know what I mean? It's like the teacher's just like panic stricken, you know, what do we do? What do we do? Oh, don't worry about it. Myron faints every year. Don't worry about that. Oh, and so pretty soon he wakes up and he goes, where am I? What am I? You know, it was a fascinating time. You know what I mean? Here the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, two times we faint not. Before we get into what I want to preach on, I find it interesting. Two things I find interesting. First of all, the Apostle Paul doesn't say, you faint not. He says, we faint not. Now, that's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so we know there's no mistakes in it, right? Sometimes when we preach, as preachers, we say, you people, live for the Lord, do right, go strong. But he says, listen, none of us should faint. Now, the Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians got saved. He got saved in Acts chapter 9. 2 Timothy is the last book he wrote. So we're just about in the middle of his ministry. And it says there, we faint not. Every aspect of ministry, every time period of ministry, every time period of life has its own challenges, its own difficulties, its own struggles. But here he's writing to this church at Corinth, obviously a church with a bunch of challenges. But he says to them, what we want to do is we don't want to faint. God has called us to do something that's important. God has given us something to do that's very important. God has given us something to do that is significant. And we don't want to faint. Unfortunately, a lot of people start well, but they don't finish well. A lot of people can give a great testimony when they're in their early 20s. But by the time they're in their 30s, they can't even find their Bible. A lot of people have fainted. So I want to show you three simple truths from 2 Corinthians 4, why we should not faint. The ministry that God has given to you, the family that God has given to you, the opportunity that God has given to you, just the living of the Christian life. Three simple truths. First of all, do you see it with me in verse 7? Let me just read a little bit to get down to where I'm at, where I want to get to. Let's read, start in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. We're in 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, what is this treasure? Well, some people would take that back to verse 6, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, or some people would take it all the way back to the gospel in verse 3 and also described in verse 4, the glorious gospel. I think it's the same thing. I don't think it matters, but it's an interesting distinction. But here it says in verse 7, why should we not faint? Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God has given to us the opportunity in an earthen vessel to know the Lord and to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord. And he's given it to us in an earthen vessel. Why? Notice the last part of verse 7. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God wants to use us. There's like a continuing debate. At one time I was preaching in chapel. A couple of people questioned me about what I said. But anyway, there's a phrase out there, and I've heard it many times over the years. And the phrase is, God doesn't need you. And I understand where that comes from. You know, God can raise people up out of stones and stuff like that. But the truth is, God does need us. The Bible says in Romans 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? What we need are preachers. Now, in that context, I believe we all fit in that category. So there's sometimes we as Christians, we say, well, you know, that person, that individual, that group, that movement, they're just like a little full of themselves. I understand what they're saying. I do. And then some people say, well, listen, we're just so humble and we're so simplistic. God doesn't need us. But you know what? He does. Because the Bible here says we have this treasure, the treasure of God. How do we have it? We have it in an earthen vessel. That's me and you. An earthen vessel. Now, the problem with an earthen vessel is it's human. It's frail. It's a sinful jar. But still, it's an earthen vessel. Can I say something? Whatever God has called you to do, whatever God has given to you to do, he needs you. I think it's an attack of Satan to say, God doesn't need me. God can raise up somebody else. You know, God hasn't called you, leave, you know, and go do something else. No. Don't faint, because he has this treasure in an earthen vessel. You say, oh, I wish I had the talent of like somebody else, you know. I wish I was like somebody else. No, you're like you. Exactly how God made you. God can use that. I always used to say some people are super talented, like Pastor Montgomery. He's super talented. I hate people that are super talented. I seriously don't. Not only do I not like them, I hate them with a deep, abiding hate. I'm just kidding. I don't really believe that. But you know what? Every earthen vessel is just a little bit different, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And God uses those people. I haven't been in a lot of churches because I was a pastor for 36 years, so I didn't travel a whole bunch, but I've been around the park enough to know that God uses all different kinds of people. And God puts all different kinds of people in different places. And God uses them to do things that I could never do, and I get to do things that they couldn't do. But you know what? The treasure is in an earthen vessel. Not that we lift up the earthen vessel, but that we say, I want to serve the Lord. I want to live for the Lord. For that reason, I don't faint. For that reason, I don't fall down. For that reason, I don't quit. I'm just an earthen vessel. Just an earthen vessel. They say that when Billy Sunday took over J. Robel Chapman was the evangelist before Billy Sunday is. Now, we're going way back to the early 1900s. And no, I wasn't alive. I read about it in a book, okay? Just my students asked, you weren't alive? You looked like you were. But anyway. And J. Robel Chapman said, listen, I want you to be the evangelist. He took a church, J. Robel Chapman did, and he said to Billy Sunday, I want you to take over this evangelist ministry. Huge tent and everything. And Billy Sunday said, I can't preach. And Wilbur Chapman said, I'll give you 10 messages that I've written out, and I'll give you my tent. Billy Sunday said, I still can't preach. And truth was, Billy Sunday could barely read at that time. Education was a little different back in those days. All Billy Sunday did was preach all over the country. All Billy Sunday did was see 1 million people walk down the Sawdust Trail. You know what he did? He took what he had. It didn't look like much at one time. didn't look like anything at one time. But he said, I'm an earthen vessel. I'm a vessel. And I want God to use me. I want God to work through me. I want God to use me in a special way. There's an old guy, he got saved. He was living in Michigan, Flint, Michigan. Flint, Michigan is the birthplace of General Motors. And back in the day when General Motors was blowing and going, I know it's still blowing and going, but back in the days when they had more humans working than machines working, and so they had a lot of people working there. And this guy got saved. His name was Carl Hatch. When he got saved, he couldn't read. And when he got saved, he had such a desire to serve the Lord. He went around and he said to the guy, Lord, could you give me a verse that I could share? Now, they had 3,000 guys in the building where they were built, making cars where he was at. And he said, give me a verse. And he gave him John 3:16. He couldn't say the word John. He couldn't pronounce it. He called it Joe 3:16. He went around and told everybody that verse, for God so loved the world. He came to the guy like about a couple weeks later and he said, listen, I shared that verse with everybody. Give me another verse. So they gave him Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He couldn't pronounce Romans. He called it Rome 10:13. Shared it with everybody. Finally, the people that ran the plant said, we'll just give you a room, and when there's a break, you just go in there and preach. And he said, I can't preach. I can't read. I can't read the Bible. I can't do anything like that. I can't understand it. But you know all he did? Was travel all around the country telling people about Jesus. That's all he did. What was he? This is what he was. He was an earthen vessel. And he said, Lord, I don't know how much of me there is, but you can have all of it. You can have all of it. You know what God can do? When you give everything to the Lord, God takes what you have and he can multiply it. He can use it. He can bless it. He can provide it. All of us, I think we'd be honest, all of us would say in many times in our life, ministry, family, parenting, we'd say, listen, I can't do this. I'm not up to it. It's too big a job for me. It's bigger than me. And God says, now I got you right where I want you. Because at that point, then, you depend upon God. It says here, the Apostle Paul says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure. That's the first reason to not faint. Here's the second one. We go to the end of the chapter. There's a lot of other truth in here, but we'll skip through it for today. Starting with me in verse 15. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might to the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause? What cause? The glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Here's our second truth about why we shouldn't faint. First one is this treasures in earthen vessels. The second great truth is that we are being renewed. Physically, we're getting weaker. Physically, the challenges are stronger and deeper. But what the Lord wants us to do is to rely upon him and to get stronger spiritually all the time. We should be getting stronger. Now, many times, and we understand this as we go through life, as we get older, there's going to be some physical struggles. But you know what? The spiritual battle, the spiritual struggle, we should be as strong, stronger than ever before as we get to our later years. We should be getting stronger. That's what he's saying there in verse 16. Our inward man is renewed day by day. Don't faint. Don't quit. Why? Physically, you're tired. We understand that. But spiritually, you should be improving. Spiritually, you should be getting stronger. Wherever you are today, you should be stronger as time goes on. Whatever situation you're in, whatever your background is, however you've come to this place in your life, God can use you. God can do something with you. He can renew that inner man. He can make you stronger for him. And the inward man is renewed day by day. When you feel like quitting, the Bible says no, the inward man is renewed. The inward man is getting stronger. We have to draw our strength, not from the outside, not from our talents, not from our abilities, but to draw it from the Lord, but to draw it from His strength, but to draw it from who He is. One time when I was just a kid growing up, my church in Minnesota, I'll never forget this. We had a time when we didn't have a pastor, and so we were having different guys just come in and preach, you know, and it's kind of funny when you look back on all the hundreds and hundreds of church services you've been in, how like something just sticks out to you, you know what I mean? Anyway, so we had a year where we didn't have a pastor. Obviously, we must have had a divided church, but I don't know. Anyway, I wasn't really following that part of it. I was just sitting in church, you know, as a kid. We had this guy come, and the guy had a speech impediment. And it was like kind of like that speech impediment where you could get it, but you had to be like totally focused, and you're always about like two or three sentences behind what he was saying. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a native missionary from some other country. They come to America, they can speak English, but just barely, you know what I mean? And so, like, you can get it. By the time they get done preaching a half-hour message, you're, like, on the theme with them. And this guy, and I thought, wow. Now, as a little junior high kid, I thought, man, what's wrong with this kid? Is he nuts? You know, he's preaching, he's got a speech impediment. The longer I think about it, the more I think, what courage that takes. To have something that everybody recognizes immediately, as soon as you open your mouth. But yet he believed God had called him to preach. And he was going to preach. I don't know whatever happened to him. I'd like to track him down. I don't even remember his name. But here it says, outward man. But God wants to trust in the inward man. We have to develop in your life and my life the ability to keep going, to keep trusting, to keep following Him. The inward man is renewed day by day. The second lesson, the second truth about fainting not is the inward man. Here's the third lesson, starting in verse 17. For our light affliction. I like how the Apostle Paul calls all that he's been through light affliction. Now, if I was the Apostle Paul, I would not call what he's been through light affliction. I call that heavy affliction. I call that heavy persecution. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Here's the third truth about why we shouldn't faint. We have to keep our eyes on that which is eternal. Here's Fanny Crosby, blinded at an early age. Not born blind, but blinded. You read everything she's ever written, she never got bitter. She never complained. Just went on to be used of the Lord in such a tremendous way. She had a gift for writing poetry. But when she wrote it, she had to memorize it. Every little poem that she wrote that appears in our songbooks today. We think of so many others down to the ages who have had difficulties and trials. And they couldn't look at that which was temporal, fleeting, passing. Instead, they had to look at that which is eternal, that lasts forever. Can we do that same thing? Can we do that same thing of saying, God has given me a place. God has given me an opportunity. God has given me a ministry. God has given me something to do. And I'm going to trust in Him. I really think it's one of Satan's great tactics to take us, to allow us to be put into a position, and then he attacks us and gets us thinking, I can't do this. I can't succeed at this. This is bigger than I am. Well, of course it's bigger than you are. That's why you need the Lord. Like I said, it's amazing to me how many people have got it all figured out. I understand people that got it all figured out. I still don't have it all figured out. But you know what? God has it all figured out. And we have to trust in Him. We have to rely upon Him. We have to go to Him in strength, and we have to be faithful to him. When I was just a kid growing up, the pastor in the town next to us, it was Garden City, Minnesota, he had a stroke and he couldn't preach. And then he had a couple other major physical problems. And so then later on, he could just preach Sunday morning, but he couldn't preach Sunday night. So their church came over to our church, which was really exciting because we had a small church and they had a small church. And so together we just had a bigger than small church. You know, I mean, not a big church, but a more kids to play with after church. Let's put it that way. You know, when you're in a Baptist church, there's only shuffleboard in the basement, and that's it. I mean, that's as exciting as it gets. That's a good game, though. All of you young people should learn how to play shuffleboard. It's a part of Baptist fundamentalism we can't let die today. It is solid activity that's fun, shuffleboard. One time we're on a team mission trip, and they had this shuffleboard in the bottom of the church, and they said, "What's this?" I said, "What's this? What church did you grow up in?" "My church." But anyway, I said, "Let me just get this out. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have a tournament." We drew up a chart and the whole thing there. Of course, I won. But anyway, we had a tournament chart, you know, and we're playing. Like, and they'd say, "Pastor Lucan, is this fun?" I said, "We're having the time of our life. Good night. What are you talking about?" We would play this for hours when I was a kid, you know. I mean, it was just the way it was. It was shuffleboard down there. Sometimes it's so human that the shuffle wouldn't even shuffle, if you know what I mean. It wouldn't even go across the floor there. It would just stick. We called that fun time in the summer in Minnesota. That was all right. But you know what? The Bible says we have to purposely turn our eyes from that which is temporary to that which is eternal. There are some things that are lasting. There are some things that are lasting. The blessing of the ministry is we're working with things that are eternal. The problem is those people are just a little cantankerous at times. Just a little difficult at times. Just a little challenging at times. In my early years in Nebraska, we needed money. In fact, we thought about having bingo because the Catholics were making money hand over fist doing that. We didn't think about bingo. It's a joke, folks. Don't let it bother you. Anyway, so this guy, so I'm at the back door one Sunday. This guy, I'd never seen him before. I didn't know where he lived. He said, "Do you believe in tithing?" I thought, well, there's a trick question. Well, never see this guy again. But I said, "Yes, I believe in tithing." He says, "I do too." Praise the Lord. He says, "And I'm going to start tithing." Well, praise the Lord. It's the first time I've ever seen you in the building, so we'll see. But you know what? The guy did tithe. He tithed for 1 year. He always walked in during the first song we were singing. And he always was the first one out the door. I could take you to the house he was living in. And then after 1 year, he was gone. You know, God can use amazing things to do his work. One time we were having vacation Bible school in Fremont. We handed out all kinds of flyers, went everywhere. And they had this little trailer park. It's been taken away. Not like a mobile home park where they're like semi-permanent, but just like campers and stuff that would sit there. And so this person called me on the phone and said, "Listen, we're the fifth camper on the right, and we want our daughter to go to Vacation Bible School." I'm like, I'll never find this in a million years. Mm-hmm. But okay, I drive down there. Out of this camper comes running this girl. She's so excited to go to Vacation Bible School. Eventually, I went to witness to her. I think her dad was like trying to avoid authorities, I think is what he was trying to do. He didn't have an address. He did siding work, and he made money hand over fist. And I think he was just trying to hide all of his earnings is, I think, what he was doing. I never could figure him out. But you know what? After a couple weeks, this girl walked in, bus kid. She walked in, and she said, "Pastor Lucan, when do you take the offering around here?" And I said, "Well, in the middle of the service." And she goes, "Because my dad gave me some money." She holds out a $100 bill. "What? Good night. Don't be just holding that out for anybody to see." And I said, "Well, when the offering plate passes, it'd be before you go to junior church. And don't forget to miss the offering here, you know." When I said the offering, I looked right at her like three times and said the offering. We don't want to miss something like that. And she put $100 in there. And I thought, man, that's a pretty good gift for 1 week. Next week, she had another $100. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. I went to try to witness to the dad. I think he was kind of like what you and I would call, what I call a working drunk. Like he would work all day, drink all night, pass out, get up, go to work. I think that's just how he lived, you know. I could never get in the camper. I could never get him to listen to me. But this girl was as sweet as the day is long. They came for like 18 months. She came for 18 months. Put a $100 bill in the offering every Sunday. I ran into him in a restaurant. I went over and tried to talk to him. The parents wouldn't even hardly talk to me. Then when I went back to my table, the daughter came up to me and says, "My dad wants you to have this." Gave me another $100. When you guys eat out again, I mean, it's just like, try to track you down. All I'm saying is this. When we look at that as eternal, when we look at what is eternal, God supplies that which is temporary.
Yeah.
And the problem is, we can all get so focused on the temporary, we forget all about the eternal. Yep. Here we are with our families. Here we are at family camp. We love our children. We want them to grow up and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's going to be a challenge coming down the road. It's right there for you. If you're not careful, there's a tendency to faint, to give up, to quit, to not continue, faithful to the Lord. Boy, I could write a book about people that were strong for the Lord in the early years, and when they got to the middle years, they didn't keep going. Something happened. Something happened in their church. Something happened in their family. Something happened with their kids. But you know, the Bible here says, the Apostle Paul says this, we faint not. In other words, don't faint. Keep going. Keep being faithful to him. It's an old preacher story, and I know you've heard it many times, but it's all right because I'm a preacher and I'm old, so I get to tell these stories. Amen? Old preacher story about a missionary couple that came home from the field after years of service on the field. And they came and they were coming. This is a long time ago. All of my stories are old. Don't let it bother you. And they came into New York Harbor. There's all kinds of people there. And they thought, wow, there's got to be some people from our churches that came to see us. They came down on the ground. They're walking around. There wasn't one person to see them after 40 years on the mission field. And the husband turns to the wife and he says, "Honey," he says, "nobody cares. It doesn't mean anything to anybody. We gave our lives. We come back physically spent. Nobody cares." And his wife astutely said, "It's all right, honey. We're not home yet."
Amen. Yeah.
We're not home yet. So we be faithful down here. Because there's coming a day when we're going to be home. That's not today, but there's coming a day. And I want to be faithful. I don't want to be among the crowd that fainted just because it was difficult, just because it was hard. I want to be faithful to the very end because I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Heavenly Father, we thank you for these days. And Lord, you've just been so good to us. We thank you for this camp that you've raised up here. We thank you for your many blessings upon this camp, all the things that are still going to happen this summer. We pray that you richly bless it with decisions. People making good decisions to live for you, Lord. And for in this last service, Lord, take the word of God and use it in our lives. Lord, we have a job to do in our own families. It's life-changing. And Lord, help us to focus so we don't faint. Lord, if we're not careful, we can look all around us and see people that we looked up to that fainted, that we admired and they fainted. Lord, help us to stay faithful to you. Help us to say with the Apostle Paul, we faint not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.